If I say to some of you, okay, you're up now, and I randomly pick somebody to come up here and just do anything, tell me about Jesus, say one thing you know about Jesus, we all do what? But I want you to be able to, just some basics. And it's not to say that you don't know, but I really think that we make it too complicated, because the truth of the matter is Jesus is not complicated. The gospel is not complicated. If you've been here a while, you've heard me say this before, but I am very much a cookies on the bottom shelf. What that means is this, is that if you come on Sundays, and I've had people tell me, Clint, we want you to teach something deep. Give us some Greek and Hebrew. I'm like, this brother did good to get through English. You want me to give you another language? That ain't happening. If you want deep, and I mean, it's good and we need it, but that's why we do grow groups. Get into a Bible study grow group and they'll take you as deep as you want to go. But for me, it's very much cookies on the bottom shelf, because we have to be able to say, whether you've known Jesus for 20 years or you've never met him, you need to be able to take something away. But this Jesus Is series will help us understand that Jesus is not complicated. That is just simply this, the most selfless act of grace and mercy and ever in human history. It's what Jesus did. This is going to be our verse we're going to hang our hat on here. This is out of the Message paraphrase. And again, the Message is not a direct translation. It's paraphrased. The guy wrote it for his family to read. But I love the way this reads. It says, "You'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you on God's to let you in about God's sheer genius." In other words, God figured out what we needed. Then it says, "I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches." You guys should know that by now. There's nothing about me polished. "And the latest philosophy." In other words, to seem smart. Anybody know somebody that likes to seem smart? They talk a good game, but we really all know they don't know what they're talking about. Years ago, I was at a youth camp, and some of the youth kids, for some reason, came and asked me about how to fix a car. And, I mean, I can change the oil. I can do some basics. I didn't know what they were talking about. So I just started messing with them and making up stuff. Things like nibbling pins. You know you got a nibbling pin in your car? If you're nodding your head yes, you don't need to fix cars, because you don't. There's lots of stuff. And I was making up car parts. And, I adjusted this. And I remember some stuff I got from Corey. Like, I was making up stuff. Yeah, I know, on that throttle body rocker, it's got to be at 27 degrees. If it's not, I'm making up all kinds of stuff. And they're just like, see, that's what we try to do with Jesus. Don't try to sound smart. Don't try to sound like you're this great philosopher. Paul said, "I didn't try to come with polished words. I just came to simply tell you the genius of what God did." And he says, "I deliberately kept it plain and simple." And I highlighted this here behind me. First, Jesus, who he is, and what he did. If you can get those two things down, you don't have to answer all the theological questions of how did somebody who was fully God become fully man and all these deep theological issues. You just have to know that Jesus, the Son of God, he came and was crucified, buried, and resurrected for me. That's it. And if we just know Jesus that simple, then it's easy to talk about. But see, Paul writes to this, he's writing to this church. If you don't know, in the New Testament, most of it's written by Paul. And when you see names like this, Corinthians is to the church in Corinth. And he's talking to them. He's really actually telling them, we'll just use believers' church. Hey, believers, guys, you're doing a good job. You're doing good in this. You're serving people. You're reaching people. You're doing good in this. And then he actually begins to rebuke the church in Corinth, because they were arguing over something like, which names do you use when you baptize people? Says, no, I baptize in John. No, I baptize in Paul. Now the modern thing is, there are people who actually say, well, you're not really baptized. They believe if you don't say, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Or if you say, I baptize you now in Jesus' name. That there's some that people are teaching that you're not really baptized. I'm sorry, but I don't think no person who's baptizing, including pastors, are that important, that when you get to heaven, God's going to say, well, you thought you were baptized, but I didn't hear him say Holy Spirit. I only heard Jesus, and that does not qualify. Doesn't that sound stupid? But yet we try to talk to people in these big names, and Paul says, you're arguing over this, and it really is so, it's just foolish. And he actually says this in 1 Corinthians. He says, listen, God says, I'm going to destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the smart people. In other words, the smart people that think they're smart, I'm going to prove to you that they're not. But God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. He's made it simple. One version says very simple and easy to understand. You see, Jesus came to earth suffering to die for us. So then the question becomes, really, why is it so hard for us as humans to accept this? Because a lot of us just can't accept the fact that what I did may be forgiven. That the worst that I've done, God actually would forgive. I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but I'll raise mine and say, I've done some things and it really blows my mind that God would forgive me. It really is like, okay, if you think about this, Jesus came knowing what you were going to do. He came knowing the disciples were going to turn their backs on him. He came knowing he was going to take on the way of the world. And he looked through time and looked through history forward at me, says, I'm going to do it anyway. Even though Clint, your pastor, stood out in that parking lot. And there was a time about 10 or 12 years ago, I was just struggling. We were having trouble with Emma. I was just a lot of pressure. Anybody ever dealt with pressure and done some, said some stupid stuff? And I had enough